We are in 1 Timothy chapter 6 as we work through this letter from a veteran pastor to a young pastor with some words of encouragement and instruction by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God recorded for us in the scriptures so that we can learn too. Always more to learn from the scriptures. It's inexhaustible. We thank God for what he teaches us through the preaching of his word, the teaching of his word, and through our own time, our personal time in the scriptures as we worship God throughout the days and weeks. Servants under the yoke. 1 Timothy 6:1. Let's pray. Father, lead us in the text. I pray that the preaching will be accurate, ordained of you, and used for your purposes in our lives. We are not manipulators or controllers. You are the one who leads us and guides us. You do not manipulate us and trick us. You tell us the truth. And you tell us the truth in love. And we desire to respond to that as you work. Thank you for the precious word that we are looking at and hearing from now in these verses and the preaching of the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Servants under the yoke, verse 1, as Timothy is instructed, in his day in which he lived, there were servants under the yoke. And they're instructed to count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. In this time in history and in this land where 1 Timothy is addressed and where Timothy was living, there were bondmen. They were under the yoke. These were not hired servants. These were slaves. For whatever multitude of reasons. And a difficult topic, no doubt, for Timothy, because theologians, historians tell us, as H.A. Ironside wrote, many of the early Christians were bondmen. Conditions of society prevailed at that time were such that there were more slaves in the Roman Empire than there were free men. Slavery was an accepted economic condition when Paul wrote to Timothy, and many of the early Christians were under bondage. As Paul encourages Timothy to the believers in Jesus Christ, that they count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Now, these people were in a tough spot, these believers. They were not living the good life. They were living hard lives, oppressed lives. And Paul is helping Timothy to understand that even in the most difficult times, the Christian's response is not bitterness and hatred. And these were tough times for these new believers. Many of them were bondmen. As Dr. Harry Ironside points out, many of the early Christians were in this group. And their lives have been transformed by Christ. They've been born again. So they were not to be bitter, hate-filled, rebellious Christians. And this ought to challenge us because none of us are living under anything like what they had to live under. But bitterness, anger, rebellion. There are Christians today that live just totally, absolutely different lives than these new believers back in Timothy's day. There's Christians today that just don't put up with anything. And it has been said, I'm not the expert, I can't verify this, but it's been said by many that one of the biggest problems we have in our churches is bitterness. People become bitter over things or angry. The instruction and the encouragement to these young Christians is even in your most hard circumstances. Don't live bitter, angry, hateful lives. They're just filled with hatred because they certainly were in a position to do that, to be the bondmen or the slaves back in the Roman days. But to the Christian, the instruction was serve your masters well as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know throughout history, and even today, this is a problem in parts of the world. But when you go to Genesis 1, 2, and 3, you find God created mankind in his image. Every person is an image bearer of God. And no person has the authority to claim ownership of another person. That is an unbiblical concept. Throughout history, people have been enslaved by conquering armies, enslaved for different reasons and monetary reasons, And this is not justified in the text, but it's telling Timothy, these young believers, you're delivered from the spiritual bondage. You're delivered from the service to Satan as an unsaved person, and all you're delivered. You're set free in Christ, though you currently are living in physical bondage. You are spiritually set free, and let that spiritual freedom rule your life. Don't let this loss of physical freedom, don't let that rule your life. Let Christ rule your life. And I submit to you again, there's nobody in this room facing what these Christians faced, but the instruction is the same. Don't let your circumstances and your difficulties rule your life. Let the Lord Jesus Christ rule your life. You are set free in Christ. What a joy it is for senior saints to have a joy about them, to have a thankfulness about them. And what a challenge it is when Christian people, they've been saved for years, and the only thing they can do is bicker and argue and fight and complain. In far better circumstances than these young Christians faced in Timothy's day. So, yes, it's important. And these believers were in bondage. They were enslaved for whatever reason. It might have been because they had debts, or might have been captured, or don't know. But the answer was to represent Christ in your situation, wherever you are, whatever you're facing. Don't let the circumstance, don't let the pressure or the problems dictate your attitude. It would make sense to me when we talk about contradictory terms or terms that contradict themselves, these two words should not fit bitter Christian. They just contradict. So be careful to not let that little root of bitterness spring up and defile in all that does. I don't know what your situation is exactly, but you might be facing some tough things. Maybe God knows and you know and nobody else does. But I will tell you from the authority of the Word of God, bitterness, anger, and hatred is not the answer to your problems. It wasn't the answer to the problems of these believers, these young believers in Timothy's day. It's not the answer to your problems either. But isn't it easy to just get bothered? Some little thing happens, and rather than addressing it and facing it biblically in a way that honors God, you just let it sit there and it kind of festers a little bit, and something else happens and you kind of add it to the pile. And it's not, God doesn't want us to live that way. I believe that, but for God's grace and your obedience to God and mine, that every one of us has the potential to become really bitter, angry people. Because just life's just hard. And how many times, that just doesn't make sense. I can't figure that out. So the saying, the straw that broke the camel's back, you know, some of you maybe have been around as long as I have. Maybe some a little longer and others not as long. But there used to be a game. I don't remember what the game was, but it came with a plastic camel, and it came with a bunch of sticks. And if you lost, you had to put a stick in the back of the camel or something, and it was hinged. So once the camel got heavy enough, it broke. It was break the camel's back or something. So it was just a game, and I remember that game. But there's something that we have to keep in mind, and I think that even back in Timothy's day, to guard our hearts, to guard our attitudes, even in the direst situations. And these people, they, wow. Because it is true that whenever that comes, when you say, well, that is the straw that broke the camel's back. I have just had it. Some of you are saying, I've never heard that before. Well, it's a little dated. It's never that straw. It's all the other straws. We blame the straw that broke the camel's back, but if, in fact, you deal with things in a biblical way, honestly, pray about it, is it something that I just need to overlook? Is it sinful, something I need to address? Or did I just get my feelings hurt because I'm so proud? That's a tough question, isn't it? I don't like that question. am I upset with you because of my, you said something and it hurt my pride? You sort those out. You go to the Lord in prayer. He helps you understand those things to let you know I should deal with this, and by God's grace, I'll look for the right weighted time to do that and all that. Or by God's grace, that was not an intent of anybody and it's just part of life and I'm just going to let it go. God will help you. He'll help you figure that out. There's no checklist, you know, check these. If you get 5 over here and 3 over here. And no, it's just the Lord will help you. You'll know. Bitterness and anger and hatred would not help these young Christians. Timothy was to lovingly instruct in the living of the Christian life for these people in bondage. They had it tough, but they were released from the bondage of sin. They were at peace with God. And now, as we see in that verse 1, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. I really believe that probably one of the worst testimonies that a Christian can have is just go around in anger and bitterness. And unsaved people, they look at that and they think, what's the matter with that person? They claim that they're born-again people. That God's name isn't blasphemed. So on a smaller scale, how do you handle problems? How do you handle disagreements? What happens when you're overcharged at the grocery store? What happens if the waiter or the waitress isn't kind? And your food comes, maybe it's a little cooled off. Do you just honestly and respectfully just explain what the problem is? Or do you pitch a fit? There's so much of Christian living and Christian life explained to us in the scripture, and the basis of it is, what is the most important? The most important thing is not being right. The most important thing is representing Christ. You can win a battle, you can win an argument and lose your testimony. You're much better off losing the argument than keeping your testimony. This is so helpful because we live not as these believers did with bondage, but we live under authority. Christians are not rebels. Christians are not rebellious people. We know the Bible tells us that we ought to obey God rather than man, and that is our full intent. If you think of Christians in countries like the old Soviet Union, even now Russia is a lot harder on Christians than it was for a few years, China, the Arab world, there are Christians obeying God in those countries, but while they obey God, they're disobeying their government. But they're not doing it in rebellion. And there's a difference. What's the difference? In obeying God and disobeying government, that is a biblical principle, is a biblical teaching that comes from the believer. It comes from a heart of humility. And I will tell you, if our government, you know, Canada is kind of ahead of us in what they allow. There's preaching Canada doesn't allow because it's hate speech. They just don't allow it. Well, you know, we've knocked on that door here in America a couple times, but haven't opened it yet. So hopefully they won't. But we'll keep preaching. Even if it's illegal to preach on certain topics, we'll keep preaching the truth and the love of God from His Word, even if it's against the law. But you know how we're going to do that? In humility. Breaks our heart that we have to disobey the God-given authority, even though that authority is, yes, God-given, but it has strayed. There's a difference between preaching the Word of God because of what it is, humility and truth, rather than preaching while we shake our fists at the authority over us. How dare you? I'm going to show you. God uses humility and truth. We are mistaken when we think God needs our human pride and arrogance to shake our fist at the authorities of the land. And these, you know, you, if you can, do any reading about some of the Christians in China and some of the things that come out of China and we hear about different parts of the world. These Christians that are meeting in house churches, they're not doing it arrogantly. Oh yeah, we can't meet, watch this. Or don't watch this. What a difference. How do you live in a sin-sick, sin-cursed world where everything is against the Word of God? You do that in obedience and humility, representing Christ so that His name is not blasphemed. They're also instructed, even if you have believing masters, don't expect favors. Just, you know, just live your responsibilities as tough as it is. Verse 2, that they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So there's really no excuse for bitter, angry, hatred, and rebellion. Again, whatever your situation is, that's not the answer. Bitter, angry, hatred, and rebellion is not the answer. Representing Christ is the answer. If, verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Withdraw from those who teach differently on this principle and on sound doctrine in verse, just following that through, if any man teach otherwise, consenting not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, what God has taught us, what Jesus taught us, what God's teaching us, don't listen to them. If any man teach otherwise, not only specifically on this topic, but the other things that have been instructed of Timothy and were learned of Paul and others in the early days of the church, if they don't consent to wholesome, to true doctrine, to truth, they don't consent, they don't agree with the words of Christ. They don't agree with the doctrine of Christ, which is according to godliness. Beware of these people. Anyone who would lead you away from the truth instead of leading you to the truth. Beware. From such withdraw thyself. If any man, teach otherwise, even the famous ones, even the well-known ones, even the ones with 30,000 people in their church, or television programs, if they're teaching otherwise, if they're not teaching sound doctrine, withdraw thyself. Powerful. Teaching that gain is godliness. To gain a following, adherence to a peculiar teaching or teacher, even financial gain, that gain is godliness. According to the authority of the Word of God, I will tell you the religions of the world that are growing the fastest are ungodly. They're godless religions. But Christians get confused because we're so impressed with large numbers. It's just something in the human condition. We're just impressed with big numbers and big crowds. And dedication of people and all of that. God looks at the heart. Supposing that gain is godliness, that gain is an indication of God's blessing, indication of God's blessing is obedient Christians, humbly walking with God. That's the blessing of God. Representing Christ, speaking truth in love, allowing God to use you and to allowing God to add to his church as he pleases, according to his purpose. Culturally, today, as true in the past, there is what is equated is success equals numbers, offerings, buildings, followings on different sites, websites, etc. And how could so many people be so wrong and so few people be so right? It's not about the people. It's about God. God is who he is, not who we want to fashion him to be. It's about God. It's not about people. It's about God. We can impress ourselves. And people do that. Religions do that. Churches do that. As the Old Testament talked about, worshiping the work of our own hands, that which our fingers have made. And it makes me think of so much going on over the years in the church growth movement. The people worshiping the work of their own hands, what their own fingers have made. That's not the application of the verse. That's Old Testament verse. But it made me think about today, Christians worshiping the work of their own hands, what their own fingers have made, and losing track of worshiping God. Because he's God. We worship God because he's God. We don't worship God because we have the fastest growing church in America. Or the biggest Sunday school anybody's ever heard of. We worship God because of those things. No, we don't. We worship God because he's God. And live faithfully and live obediently and live humbly. And when people equate the work of God, and they teach that, supposing gain is godliness, they've got to be right. Look how big they are. There's only one who is right, and that is God. And anybody else that's going to be right has to believe God, believe what God says, believe who God is, and not teach otherwise. It's the wording here, of course, in Scripture is always significant. Verse 4, those who would teach other than what Jesus taught and other than what the Bible says, verse 4 says, he is proud, knowing nothing. Nothing. That's quite a statement. He doesn't know. He may be confident and may be big, may be well known, but when you depart from Scripture and are building religions or ministries on other than the Word of God, you know nothing. Pretty strong words here. Proud and knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. It's the truth that makes a difference. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, says our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Truth. This text, some of the ideas in this list that I just read, that knowing nothing can help no one. And this speaks of an excessive love or fondness for theological wrangling or fighting with over scriptures and with scriptures and coming up with your own direction rather than God's direction. Doting, it's like a sickness. And these people that Timothy says, he's told, you know, withdraw thyself from the relentless non-listeners who just tell you their version and brand of truth. It doesn't agree with the Bible, or it takes scripture out of context. It rends or twists the scriptures. But they won't listen. Relentless non-listeners. Withdraw thyself. Please understand, Paul is not telling Timothy, you know, you hang around these guys and try to be a good influence for them. You know, speak up once in a while. Just be one of them and try to influence. No. Biblical principle, from such withdraw thyself. You're not going to help them because they're not going to listen. And the potential there is they could harm you. What do you tell your kids when they start running with the wrong crowd? You know, son, you know, you're 16 now and your friends are a mess. But look, you spend all the time you want with them. You be a good influence on those kids. You speak up for truth and you hang out with those kids. That's not what parents say. Parents say, look, you stay away from those kids. I don't want you with them. They're going to hurt you. Oh, but Dad, I'm a Christian and I can help them. Well, I know you're a Christian. I know you can help them. But I also know the power of evil. Well, we can just dialogue with the false teachers. We can just join the ministerial association and the collars and the robes, and we can just help them out. No, we can't. In Illinois, we had a fellow that wanted to come and, you know, speak at the church, and I think he was a Christian. I believe he was, and he was working with a group, and he kept asking me, "Can I come and share my burden?" And I'd say, no, I just can't have you do that. And he says to me, well, why is that? And I said, well, here's what we believe. And I know you believe similar. But the problem is that you're here this week. And then next week you're over here in this church that doesn't preach the gospel. You're in this church that takes a false view of things. And you're in this church. And I said, we just can't have you come. Because the gospel is so important. The word of God is so true that we can't have you come because you go to all of these other places that are not true to the word. And he looked at me and he said, you know, he said, I've been trying to get to talk in this church for years. And he said, I've always been told no, but nobody ever told me why. So he thanked me for telling him why. I think he understood. We still had a friendship, but not to come into the church. Withdraw. And I know we want to be a good influence on people. Praise God for that, but be careful. And there's times you need to withdraw, especially from false teachers. False teachers are more dangerous than just an unsaved person that's not teaching false things. False teachers are misleading people. Questions and strife of words, angry, bitter disagreements, ill will and jealousy and strife and all of those things. most important thing is the gospel message and being true to the Word of God. Baptists are known as separatists. And we'll talk about this a little bit in our Bible study this afternoon. Separating from false teaching. And why? Why do we separate from false teaching? And this is what Timothy's instructed here. Separate from false teaching. From such withdraw thyself. The boldness of Paul to help this young preacher understand. The boldness that we've lost. We don't say anymore, withdraw thyself from false teachers. We should. It'll be preached from here. But people back up a little bit and say, well, they're not really false teachers. They're just off in one area. They're just a little off over here. And, you know, maybe they think we're false teachers. And they maybe do that. And that's okay. But we're going to stick with the Word of God. Hopefully, humbly, accurately bringing forth and preaching and teaching the truths of the Word of God. And I challenge all of us in our walk with the Lord, whether it's church size, whether it's finances personally, because this is a big false teaching, supposing that gain is godliness. There's a lot of false teachers out there that will tell you gain is godliness. And if you want to gain, you send me your prayers and make sure you include a check. And I'll help you be godly and you can help me be rich. Because isn't that the American way though? Success means bigger and better and faster and stronger and richer. When people preach and they put this forth that gain is godliness. Withdraw yourself. Find somebody that will help you walk humbly with the Lord. Christian friends, we need the boldness of Paul in these troubled days. Few will stand up and speak out against the falsehood of our day. Whether it's the new Jesus that everybody's falling in love with, who's not the Jesus of the Bible, he's the Jesus of the movies and the Hollywoods and the streaming lives and the streaming things, and it's not the Jesus of the Bible. Side note, I think it's interesting as you read through and study through some things going on today, you've got all of this new Jesus being presented that everybody gets familiar with Jesus because he's on the big screen. And the advancements of artificial intelligence, all of the programs now that are available, there's a new AI system of, you know, talk to Jesus and he'll talk to you and you can ask him questions. It's interactive. Talk to Jesus, interactive. It's not the God of the Bible. I remember preaching against promise keepers. That's a problem. They weren't right on the gospel. They might have been right on the gospel, but they had everything else thrown in there too that was also right. So you're not right on the gospel if everything else is right. We need the boldness of Paul in these troubled days. Who would dare preach against false teachers like that today, like Paul's writing to Timothy? Who will stand up today and say these words against the false Jesus of today, who is embraced and growing in popularity? You want to talk about the popularity of Jesus? Look at the cross. Few people scattered around, some family members. Where were the thousands that had the free lunch or lunches? Where did they all go? We're getting close to Palm Sunday and Easter. That's coming up in a few weeks. And just thinking ahead and preparing ahead some things, it's like, poor comparison, but it's almost like there's a second triumphal entry. You know, Jesus coming to Jerusalem, you know, the Jews, oh, he's gonna defeat Rome and he's gonna set up the kingdom again and it's come and you know, just praise and Hosanna, Hosanna. And it's almost like the, please understand, this is not in the text, but it's just something to think about as a Christian, because Jesus is getting so popular. That ought to intrigue you as a Christian. That ought to make you think. And it also ought to drive you into the scriptures, so you can see what's going on and then know why it's going on, because you know the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your love for us. We are in confusing days, but I think Christians have always lived in confusing days. I thank you that we don't live under the bondage that these Christians did, as Timothy was instructed to help them. But I pray for each one of us in this room. You know the hearts. There may be somebody here this morning thinking, yeah, I have gotten pretty bitter, and I'm angry. Father, that's not your plan for me, so please lead me out of this, and I know that you will. And we'd be happy to encourage anyone who's struggling with this, because bitterness, anger, hatred, rebellion is not your plan for the Christian. Help us to know your joy in the midst of our circumstances. Thank you for the Bible you've given to us, such a help. We need this. Thank you for loving us enough to tell us the truth, calling us to yourself, working in our lives, giving us instruction for the day. Please work in hearts. If there's anyone here that has never trusted Christ, I pray that today they would trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We'd love to encourage them and help them in that. For Christians, that they would maybe just deal with things now as we're praying, and maybe they're praying silently. You've maybe touched on an issue or issues in their life that they need to address. I pray that they will do that now and in a way that you would have them to do it. You have set us free. We're free from this bondage of sin. And I pray that we will not allow sin to have any power in our lives, to take the place that only belongs to Jesus. Thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen.